Good to see so many kids in here, right?
Amen.
Yeah, I love our kids. So, I think I'll be able to do this today. You know, it's always hard to take a week off anyways, and I always come back, I always feel a little rusty when I take a week off. But in particular, and if you're visiting and you haven't figured it out yet, my dad, he died last week, and I shared about it when I was here last week, and it was a very sudden passing and very hard week for us, and but we've been leaning on God, and we've seen so many ways that God has been there through it for us and working in it, so we're just amazed by that. And I want to say appreciate all the love and support we've received from our church, lots of cards and meals and flowers and gifts and different things, so thank you so much for that. We really, really appreciate it, and I'll do my best to hold things together here today when I do this. All right. So if you just join me in prayer, I'd appreciate it. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be here, to share, to preach your word, to be part of this church family. So thankful for my church family. So thankful that it is your idea that we have a church family, that we gather together regularly and encourage one another, and we walk together. And we're in this together. So thank you for that. And I pray today as we talk about one of our core values that we will understand where this comes from and why it's important and how to live it and how to not get it wrong too, Lord. Thank you so much. We love you and we praise you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So if you haven't been here recently, I am going through our core values, just taking some time reminding ourselves of what's important to us here. Now, of course, we know what's important to us is the Word of God. It's our faith in Christ. But there are some things that we need to come back to. We need to remind ourselves, like, this is who we want to be. Keep reminding ourselves, this is who we want to be. As times change around us, we have these values that help keep us on track and remind us how we want to keep doing these things. And today we're talking about our third core value, which is these core values we have, they also go along with our actual mission. So I've been starting each one of these, just reminding us what our mission is. So our mission statement is empowering people to become devoted disciples of Jesus Christ. So in simple terms, that's what we want to do here as a church, is we want to be used by God to make disciples. So we want to see people saved, and we want to see people growing in their faith and walking with Jesus, and that is our great hope. The longer statement there is that we are called to reach lost and hurting people in our community and throughout the world with the life-changing gospel of hope that is found only in a vital relationship with Jesus Christ. We will strengthen believers through biblical instruction, worship, fellowship, and prayer, build them up to maturity in faith, hope, and love, equip them to serve God, and effectively send them out to reach others. So this is what, as a church, long ago, we wrote about ourselves saying, this is what we want to be about. This is what we want to be doing. We want to be sharing the gospel with people. We want people to receive the message of Christ, to have that hope, because we as a church offer something that nobody else can offer. People have all kinds of other ideas about how to make things right, but it's only in Jesus that things can truly be made right. So we want to be a church that does that and that describes how we want to do that. We want to do that by teaching the Word of God. We want to do that by having authentic worship here as a church. And we want to build people up and equip them so that they can serve God, so that we don't have a church of a bunch of spectators, but we have people that actually want to go do the work of ministry. Amen? So I think the way I look at this is, you can look at this gathering we have here as not like watching a show or something, but we participate in worship, but we're gathered together almost like a huddle where we come every week, we encourage one another, we strengthen each other, and at the end we say, ready, break, and then we go out and we run our play. All right? Amen?
Amen.
And so that's what we do. That's what we do here as a church. That's what we want to be, you know? So these things are things we wrote that we want to be. So the third core value that we have, and there are five core values that we're going over here, is this. It is, everyone is valuable to God, but we may be very different. We welcome diversity, but make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We recognize that Christians are at different places on their journey to spiritual maturity and thus have different needs. We are to be a church family which shares with one another in true Christian fellowship that spans age groups, ethnic differences, and personal backgrounds. Now, I'm not going to go through the words of that until the end. I'm going to go through that in more detail after I share some scripture with you and we go through scripture. Because I want to also remind you that I'm not preaching the core values that we wrote. I'm preaching the Word of God. But I'm saying why we wrote those core values, why we have those core values, why that's what we want to be. Because we take it from the Word of God. And so this one, when I thought about it, what is this actually saying? What is this core value? If I had to sum it up in just a couple words, I sum it up like this. Diversity and unity. Diversity and unity. So we want to be diverse, but we want to be united. We want to be diverse about a lot of things, but there are some things we must be united on. So it's not diversity for the sake of diversity. There is a diversity that we have, but honestly, that's the secondary part. The primary part is unity. Unity is the important part, okay? We are going to be diverse. We are diverse, and we're probably more diverse than you know. I have been leading men's Bible studies and things like that, and just when I think that I've met every kind of guy, a new guy comes in. Different than any guy I've ever met in my life. He might look the same as some other guys, might have the appearance of some other guys. I've met some real characters in my day. Amen? Amen? And that's just the truth. You know, I can't really think of any of you that are alike. You're all so different. And it's beautiful when you think about it, that God makes us all so different. And we all bring so many different things to the table. So when I think about this in Scripture, like, is diversity something that the Scripture calls for, that we see in the Scripture? And I think it is. All right, I want you to think about this verse, John 3:16, which you also know so well. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." So God loved, he so loved the world. He loved basically everyone. Every type of person, every personality, every background, every skin color. He loved everyone, male and female. He loved everyone. He loved the world. He loved the world. And how did he love it? He loved it in this way, that he sent his Son to die on the cross for our sins. And what Jesus did and what he did at the cross, it's for every type of person. Every character that I've met in men's Bible study, God died for them. Amen? Jesus died for them. Particular. Okay? And he did that so that our sins would be forgiven and we could have eternal life in Christ. And so, you think about that. You see that other places in the Scripture, this idea that he didn't die for just one type of people. See, this is really key as you read the Bible and you get this developed. And I think we talked about this a lot in Romans. If you came from a Jewish background, you grew up Jewish, you might have probably thought that when the Messiah came, he was going to come just to redeem Israel and just to die for the Jews. You may have thought that. Okay, that was the big mystery that was revealed, that he came to do so much more than just that. It wasn't about one race of people, but it was about the whole world. And here we see this in John 3:16. Now that just made a funny noise. I wonder if my battery's going out. We'll have to see. So, another place that you see this is in John chapter 10, verse 16. And by the way, I think last time I went through one of these core values, I felt I gave you so many verses that I just like shot out so many verses. It was like drinking from a fire hose, you know, kind of thing. I decided I'm going to cut it down a little bit today, okay? So don't be afraid, you know, there's not going to be that many verses today, all right? John 10, 16, I love John 10. It's one of my favorite areas in the Bible there. But John 10:16, he says, "And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd." And Jesus is talking in John chapter 10 about how he's the good shepherd. And he's talking to the flock. But I think what he's saying here is that his flock is not just the people that come from Israel, but he has people outside of Israel, and he's going to bring them together. And he's going to bring us all together in one flock. And in one flock, there's one shepherd, and his name is Jesus. Amen? Amen? And so when you think about Jesus dying for all the people in the world, people from all the different places, all the different nations, all the different tribes, all the different tongues, and he brings them together. He says he's bringing all those people from all those different people groups. There's a diverse people groups. He's bringing them together into one people. One flock with one shepherd, Jesus. Amen? All right, now another place, you know, when I look at Scripture and I think about this idea of diversity, is when you go to the end, you know, what's it going to look like in the end? What's it really going to be like in the end? Revelation chapter 5, when John has the vision and he looks in heaven, and he sees the worship in heaven, and he says, "And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and he took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang," Mrs. Moon is going to like this, "they sang a new song." She always likes to sing new songs. "Sang a new song." It's very biblical. "Sang a new song, saying," all right, listen to what they said, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." When you look at what Jesus came to do, he came to ransom and redeem people from every people group. And he did that, and he took those people groups and he made a new people group out of them, and he made them priests here. And that's where we are all priests, and we believe in the priesthood of all believers here at this church, that we're all priests. And it says there, "And they shall reign on the earth," looking forward to what will come in the new heaven and the new earth ahead. All right, so Revelation chapter 7, similarly, he says, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" And so you see this huge multitude of people that have been saved and believers before God. And again, where do they come from? They come from every people group, from everywhere. They come from, and he brings them together there, and they worship God. All right, one more passage I want to get to and talk about. And I want to pause here for just a moment as I go into this one, thinking for a second. So, with those verses that we looked at and I shared, what I'm trying to do is I'm really trying to establish the fact that Scripture teaches that Jesus died for all types of people, all people groups, right? That's part of his plan. Like, there's this any idea that someone has that, like, one race is what it's all about, or one people group is what it's all about, Scripture is so counter to that. We have Jesus dying for all people everywhere, for all types of people. Amen? Amen. Have we embraced that? Do we accept that? Do we love that? Are we thrilled with that? Because it's what he did. So if people think, like, for instance, I've heard people think, like, somehow, like, Jesus is a white man's religion or something like that. That's not at all true. Jesus died for people of all color and all races and all ethnicity and all background, right? And so much more. We're going to go into some a little bit of diversity and dig deeper on this idea of diversity as we talk here. All right, but the fact is that it is a free gift that's offered to every type of person from every type of background. Now, we see something else, though. He takes us, and like I said, he makes one new people group of us. So we are diverse in some ways, but what he's doing is he's taking us, making a new people group of us, and he's doing this in every single one of us believers that have come from every different type of background. He's conforming us to the image of Jesus. Amen. That's what sanctification is. He's conforming us to the image of Jesus, then he's making this body of us, and we work and we serve together. We continue to be a little different, right? Because we're not fully conformed, right? We're not fully conformed, so we still have some differences. We're not so much like Jesus that we can't butt heads and rub each other the wrong way, okay? We can't hurt one another. We can't. All these things can still happen within the church because we are people. We are human beings. We are still in the flesh. We still sin. We still need forgiveness. Guess who still sins and needs forgiveness? Me. And I think all you guys are probably raising your hand to talk yourself. And when you take our membership class, if you ever take our membership class here, like one of the things that we point out in the membership class is there's an area that talks about the pastor. And in that, and I didn't write this, but I really embrace it, okay? I think Pastor Lennon wrote this when he was here. Your pastor is someone that needs your grace, that needs your forgiveness. I'm going to sin, and I'm going to repent for my sin, and I need that just as much as everyone else does. And you guys all need it too. So in this diverse body of people with so many different things about us, like think about it. And again, I'll say more about this in just a minute, but we sometimes make diversity just about certain things. Just about certain things, like the color of our skin or our ethnic background. We make it about those things. But there are so many different dimensions of diversity that we have. And because we're so different when we come together, it is possible that within the church there are people that you actually have to bear with, right? And you think, this person gets under my skin, or this person drives me crazy, or this person hurts my feelings, or these things. Welcome to the church. Amen? What this is promised to be is not a whole bunch of people that look just like you, and act just like you, and think just like you. What it is we're a bunch of people that think very different, come from radically different backgrounds, experiences, radically different interests, radically different points of view in a lot of things, come together, open the Word of God together, worship together, get conformed to the image of Christ together, and then, instead of becoming more like each other, we become more like Jesus.
Amen.
Amen? That's what the kind of diversity and unity is that we're looking at. So, Ephesians chapter 4 is another passage I want to go to, which kind of speaks to this subject. And I think part of our core value there, it comes out of that. He says, Paul writes, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, and I like that because we are what we are, but we are it for the Lord. We can have that attitude that we're doing what we're doing and we're doing it for the Lord. And he's in charge rather than hating where we are. Paul could hate the fact he was in prison, but he said, no, I'm in prison for the Lord. He said, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. If you believe in Jesus, if you've received him as your Savior, you have been called by God the Father into that relationship. He has called you into that. You have been given that life in your heart. You have it because of his calling that he put in your life. You've been called. And if you've been called and you've been saved, I think what this is saying, if you are a Christian, if you are a follower of Christ, if you belong to Jesus Christ, you need to live your life in a way that's consistent with what that calling that he's put in your life. The Bible is calling you to that. It's putting that before you. You don't want to live a life that's the antithesis of what Jesus stands for and what he calls us to. You want to live in a consistency of that. So we're going to walk. So the walk is how you live your life. It's a metaphor for how you live your life, how you walk. You're going to live your life this way in a way that's consistent. It's worthy of the calling to which you've been called. And then he describes it. He says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Amen. All right, so as you see that and you think about who we want to be, who we want to be as individual Christians who read the Word of God, but who we want to be as this body that comes together, that there needs to be a lot of humility in us. All right, rather than thinking that our way or the highway or, you know, we're always right or, you know, things have to be this one way, that we need humility. And that's what it will look like to be a healthy body. And in that, gentleness. Gentleness doesn't mean you're not strong. You can be really strong and gentle. When I was in seminary, I preached this sermon, and one of the guys in class was like so, he liked my introduction so much, let's just say, he asked me if he could borrow it and reuse it, you know. But I started my sermon like this. I said, my uncle's a chicken farmer in Pennsylvania. and he raises baby chicks, and he calls them peeps, and they get these little peeps, these little baby chickens you hold in your hand, you know. Now hold this little baby peeps in my hand, and when you get those little peeps in your hand, you realize they're so small and so delicate. If you're not careful with them, you can smash them just by holding them too tight. And I was relating that, and I do relate that, to the gentleness that we need to have as people of God, that we need to learn gentleness. Like, our words can do a lot of damage, the things we say and what we do. And I think in my life, okay, one of the things that God has taught me by being part of the church and in a great deal by being married and having a wife who's a very gentle, kind person, that I have to change. I had to change a lot and become more gentle. Because I was like a little more on the rough side with my words and my speech and how I acted and what I did. But it's learning to be gentle. And when you're part of a church and a body of different people, you have to learn a certain kind of gentleness that goes with that. And another thing is patience, right? Patience, you know. Because people are different and we're all so different, we think about things different. Sometimes you have to be patient to learn and understand other people or to listen to people and to what they're saying or what they need to say. We do need patience with each other, amen? Yeah. Oh, I don't believe you guys on that one.
Amen.
Amen. I like those, like, convicted hands. Hey, man, yeah. And then it says, you know, that idea of bearing with one another in love is bearing with, it's like, okay, this person makes me kind of uncomfortable. Because the way they think about things, or the way they say things, or they're different. But, or maybe because they're not as mature as I would expect them to be, or want them to be, you know. There's still such a work in progress. But it's bearing with that person, bearing with their failures, bearing with their shortcomings, but doing it in love. Now, doing it in love, what that really means is you want the best for that person. It doesn't mean that you always just say that everything that they do is okay, and they're always right, and you don't just praise the person, but there's a bearing with that person in love, just to continue on with that person, not give up on that person. Amen. And then verse 3, I think this is where it's in our core value, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. When you think about who Paul is writing to, he's not writing to just a random group of people saying, you guys all need to get along together. He's writing to people who have given their life to Christ, who are saved, who are a church, and he's saying, in that, you have the Holy Spirit. Each one of you have the Holy Spirit, and because you have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is conforming each one of you to Christ, you have this unity, and so you should be eager to maintain that unity in the Spirit that you have. Because it's not different Holy Spirits that people have. There is one Holy Spirit that we're indwelt with when we come to Christ. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so we, as part of a church, we have these differences, different, diverse backgrounds, different things. We have to be eager to maintain unity, and we base that on the fact of not what's different, but what's in common. Amen. What's in common is Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's one salvation that we have. And that is what really brings peace, and that, listen to me, that is what makes the church different than anything else that's out there. It's God's presence in our hearts and in our lives. Like, you think about it. In this world today, people are trying to solve issues of diversity, right? And they're going about them in all these different ways that are made of man. Those things don't work, okay? What works is this diversity we have, but unity that we have in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And within the church, you can see all different types of people from all different types of backgrounds coming together. You must be coming together on something, right? Coming together on Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, don't get me wrong. The world is trying to come together on something, but it's not Jesus, amen, right? And that's why it's not going to work. They're coming together on different things. If you look at the world, like if I went out there and I said, complete this quote, diversity and the world would say inclusion, or diversity and equity and inclusion, or something like that. Those would be the terms, you know, that you would hear today. If you read about diversity, equity, and inclusion, you'll read about it, and I would say read about it. In all honesty, I just did some looking. I read some sources and things this week looking at it, because, you know, like, how does that compare to where we are? Probably about 80% of that, there's good stuff in there. There's good thoughts. There's good things. But there's the other 20%, which is things in quite a different direction. There's definitely no acknowledgement of God in that. And then there's taking things that are sinful practices and rebellion against God and making those one of the areas that we would strive for diversity. Okay? That's a big difference, you see, between the diversity that the world talks about and the diversity that we're talking about here in Scripture. But the thing that makes that different is at the center of this, really, is that the unity that we have. So rather than diversity, equity, and inclusion, it's diversity and unity. Diversity and unity. So the unity that the world is seeking is on those other issues in those other areas. Just listen to me. How many of you heard of the Women's March in Washington, D.C. and those other places? Do you think that those were inclusive?
No.
They weren't. They weren't inclusive because if you were a woman who was pro-life, you weren't welcome there.
Yeah.
It didn't matter that you were a woman.
Amen.
Okay? And what I'm saying is that those groups and those people that are looking for this, they are still trying to be united. They're trying to be united, but they're trying to be united on something different than what we as a church are united on.
Amen.
And they will try that, and they will either look for unity in that, or they'll look for power in that, or whatever they're looking for. But what I'm saying is, we're not going to do that. We are looking for unity in Christ, and anyone could come from any background, any place, anyone who's willing to trust Christ as their Savior and believe in Him, then we want to join together as a people of God. In fact, it's not a matter we want to. God has joined us together.
Amen.
We are that people of God. Amen?
Amen?
How many of you are glad that you got up this morning, got out of bed, and came to church? Okay? Alright, I hope that you are, alright? And I hope that you're eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, like it's talked about here. And Paul goes on and he writes, "There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." There's only one God. There's only one Holy Spirit. There's only one baptism. Now, another place that you'll see a lot of diversity is in the body of Christ. In not the way we look, not our background, but our thinking and our understanding of Scripture. There's a certain diversity there. There are different understandings of hard pieces of Scripture and passages. I think at the center of it, there are some things that every church really needs to believe and should be standing on, essential teachings of Scripture that are undebatable, okay? Like, for instance, we're saved by faith in Christ alone.
Amen.
You know, not by works, okay? It's by faith in Christ that there's no other way. You know, every church should believe in that, and if they don't believe in that, then I don't think they're really a church. But you look at a lot of other issues, and probably the easiest example of that would be eschatology, which means end times, which is a prophecy and the things. Okay, I'll tell you what, I'm comfortable being part of a church that doesn't have an official view on those things, but that we get together and we study and we wrestle with one another and we try to understand it. We have different people from different backgrounds that come and we share, and like iron sharpens iron, we work together and we try to understand what the Scripture is saying there. Amen? It's a different kind of thing. What I'm saying is, in the body of Christ, there's a diversity of thinking, even of theological issues. And there's different ways sometimes that we even relate to God or understand God. We see that. There's a diversity in us. Amen? No one, you're going to, that's the thing. I would tell you these men's Bible studies, or when I taught Sunday school, I always thought it was one of the hardest things that I did because everyone was so different in the room. Okay, and it's both different in personality and different in views. And I think it's one of those things you've got to embrace and really appreciate. And I think it does so sometimes make a challenge, and sometimes in our flesh we would like things to just be like a little more simple. Like I've heard the thought, I just wish it was just a little bit more simple and it was just spelled out a little bit more. Well, that's not the way God did it. It wasn't what He wanted to do. So we wrestle with ideas in the Scripture, and sometimes we have different views on things, but we got to remember there's one God, one Holy Spirit, one baptism. All right, I don't have a whole bunch more to say. I figured I was giving myself an easy week here. All right. But I want to go to this slide I have here coming up here is this one. And I want to say, let me do this. Can you hear that? That's me scratching the surface. Good? I probably missing some things up here and just scratching the surface. But, you know, I was just kind of thinking about, just put some words together, some kind of visual here. I had so many things I couldn't just do, like, points or whatever, you know. But I'm just thinking about diversity and unity. You know, where do we want diversity? We want diversity in these things, and where do we want unity? So, for instance, how many sexes did God make?
Two.
Male and female. Right off the bat, there was diversity. Well, I shouldn't say right off the bat, because there was a time when he made Adam, and Adam was kind of floundering, and God looked at him and said, man, this guy needs a helper. I'll make someone that's going to really help him out, okay? But I can't help but say, my wife, she showed me this Christian comedian. He was talking about how his wife was his helper when he drives. And it was the kind of thing, it was so funny. But if I had showed it to her, I think I would have been really risky for me to show it to her. Because it may have been insulting to her. But she thought it was really funny. So look that up today. That's her homework. You know, wife is his helper when he drives. Okay, so right off the bat, sex. Later on, race. We see that. So these are things, you know, we love diversity in these areas. Ethnicity, like the difference between that is like, it's not just your race, but it's your heritage, you know. And I think that would be related to culture. I have that there, culture there, as you look at it. But like, what people group were you from? Were you a part of, you know, where did you come from? What cultural influences are there? The church should embrace diversity in those areas and want those. Another important one is age. And I really appreciate about this church is this is a church of all ages. And that's really a sign of a healthy church, okay? Now, a church that is older, sometimes they can't help it. They want to be younger. And I think sometimes churches, and we may even find ourselves, because we have to be humble here and think about this. You may find yourself in that position as a church where it's like, oh, the church is really aging, and you're like, you know, we really want to reach the next generation, but we're struggling to do that, and we don't have people that come in. I mean, I went down to a Village Missions church in Ocean Park, and everybody in the church, everyone, this is when I was like younger, probably in my early 30s, everyone in the whole church was senior and gray, but that's a retirement community there. There aren't that many people, as many people even that live there that aren't retired. It's largely a retirement community. So, you know, you can't always control those kind of things, I guess is what I'm saying. I'm going to come back to that in just a moment. But we should really appreciate a diversity of age. Now, here's another way that works. Okay, I think some churches are like all about silos. Like, okay, all right, we're going to put all people this age together, and then also we got the high school, we got the early career, we got the kid, people married with kids, we've got, you know, it's just like you build up these things, and a lot of times that's the way a large church does things, and it's more like the idea is, find a group where everyone is just like you, and get together with that, because you're going to relate to those people, and you can experience God with those people. Now, there's definitely something good with being around people your age, and your life experience, right? But what we're saying here, okay, I think it's special about this church and who we are is that, and it's what we want to be. We want to be a church where we have this diversity of age, where you come here and you know people that are all different ages, that can share wisdom with you and experience with you, that can share youth and vitality with you, and you have that, and we're all together in that. Amen? That's a picture of what we want to be, you know, that's a diversity that we appreciate. So, you know, you see it, sometimes it doesn't mean that it's always easy, right? Like sometimes, I remember we were at this, went to a family member's church and there was a concert there. They had got this outside Christian musician who was on the radio to come in and do a concert there, and they did the concert. And it was kind of loud, yeah, and in that, so many of the older people were very upset about how loud it was. And there's this whole issue that like rose up in it. And it's probably more complicated than young people realize, because also like you also have to learn some of that has to do with things like hearing aids and, you know, what happens with the loud music. There's a lot to it. And basically what it should be is an opportunity for division, right? But it should be an opportunity for people to work together and care about each other and figure out, you know, what the real issues are, and then love one another and appreciate those differences. So that's an area we need. Another is experiences, like all different kinds of experiences. So again, it's like you look at people. Some people here have certain type of job experiences. You know, we got carpenters in the room. You know, I know Rob, we always talk about him being an iron worker. You know, I love that whole iron worker, carpenter thing. When they told me about that, they said there's like a rivalry there. I like it, but you know, you got people that love sports and people that can't stand sports, right? You got people of all kinds of interests and experiences and different types of jobs. You got blue collar, you got white collar, you got all these different ways that we can be different, you know? You look at that, the whole economic thing. You can have rich people, you can have poor people. Like in the Bible, you know, they had people that were even slaves with people that were free, that were together. And they were willing to put those things aside and seek Christ together and be brothers and sisters in Christ. Different situations that you come from, you know, different backgrounds, you know, totally, yours might be totally unique. There might be someone that's, no one that's like you, different abilities, different things that you can do, different interests. And then the last one up there that I have is just different way of thinking, right? There's diversity in thinking. Like people think about things very different. And so you should want all these kinds of different things in the body of Christ. Now, but the unity that we have, what we're basing it on, is Christ. And it is the Holy Spirit. And it is the Word of God. It is submission to the Word of God in that. It is, you know, being united in prayer, right? So we're seeking God together in prayer. So being united in prayer. A big word up there is fellowship. So, koinonia, we have Jesus in common. That's what unites us. Though we're different, it's Christ that brings us together, that makes us united. And then finally, it's in that, and I think it's maybe another way to describe it, it's being the people of God. Amen. Together. And that's diversity and unity. All right, so now, real quick, let's take a look at the words of the core value briefly here. And I'm just, in each kind of one of these sentences, I'll just share just a few thoughts on it. But the core value that we wrote says, everyone is valuable to God, though we may be very different. That is grounded in the fact that we are all made in the image of God. And I don't think this part of the core value isn't even just focusing on people who are saved. The fact is, everyone is valuable to God because we're all made in the image of God. But at the same time, we're all very different. And we as a church welcome a variety of different things. Now, is it okay in the month of March? Gee, is this the month of March? Yeah, I think it's still the month of March. Been a long month. So is it okay that I talk about Thanksgiving? And what I like about Thanksgiving?
Yeah,
let's do it. What I like about Thanksgiving is, well, you get the turkey, right? Get some potatoes. Oh, and I love stuffing. And I love stuffing. And I love the stuffing that Gary's mom made, brought. We continued it. It has a little sausage in it. A little sausage in the stuffing, you know. Maybe sweet potatoes, if people remember them, because sweet potatoes get forgotten sometimes, you know. Those kind of things. You get all that. Oh, ham. Got to have some ham. But you know what I got to have on top of that? I got to, like, gravy. Put some gravy on there. Yeah. Gravy. Oh, need a little bread with butter. Right? I never was into cranberry, but this year my wife's like, "Oh, you gotta try that cranberry." I don't really like the way that looked. That just didn't look good. I'll try it. Put a little turkey on it. Put this. Oh, yeah, that's actually pretty good. A little cranberry with it. What do you call that? You call that variety.
Yes. Exactly.
Together on one plate. And then what do you call it? You call it two things. You call it good. The second thing you call it is nap time. You call it nap time, okay? All right? So, you know, you want that variety. You want that diversity. We want that. But within that, we know there's some differences. And so we make every effort to keep the unity, and we do that in our salvation. It says in the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, we do that in Christ. We do that in the Word of God. We do that in the relationship that we have in common. And in the same time, we recognize that Christians are at different places in their journey to spiritual maturity and thus have different needs. So what this is called is sanctification. When we become saved, when we're saved, God starts something with us, in us, and he continues it until the day we die. He's making us more and more like Jesus, but there's this point, and there's this point, and we're somewhere in between, and everyone's somewhere in between, so we realize that about people. Nobody's arrived yet, and everybody's at different places in their maturity, and so we would expect that, and that's why we won't lose patience with each other when we understand that. And we look for those different kind of needs that people have. And then it says, we are to be a church family which shares with one another in true Christian fellowship that spans age groups, ethnic differences, and personal backgrounds. So we want genuine, real, and true, I don't know how many different ways I can say this, Christian fellowship, which is empowered by the Holy Spirit living in us, where we have Christ in common, where we all love Jesus together, and that we have in common makes us one. And it goes across all different kinds of differences that we have. Amen. Right? And then it's like we have that beautiful Thanksgiving plate. And we are that beautiful Thanksgiving plate there. All right, just a few last thoughts here. Hold on a second, bear with me. I've messed something up here. One last funny for you, though, as we think about this. There's another, I think it's a Christian, he must be, because he's talking about the preacher that preaches, and it's in the black church, and he says that the pastor keeps saying, I'm getting ready to close, and he keeps saying this, and it's like, he goes on and on and on and on, he's got like 10 points, 10 times, he says, I'm getting ready to close, you know. I'm going to do one of those to you guys here today. just a few more thoughts on this, okay? We definitely still need to work at learning to appreciate diversity, because in our flesh, we could have that tendency to think that we want everyone to be just like us, okay? So we have to watch for that sinful tendency in ourselves, and we really do need to appreciate that and work on that in ourselves. Second, though, that was number one. Number two, I got six things for you. The end goal is not diversity, but it's unity. Okay, not diversity, but unity. Number three, we need to avoid elevating a couple forms of diversity over all the other forms of diversity. And we also need to avoid taking sinful practices and calling those things diversity and then seeking after those things. Okay, and reinforcing those things and affirming those things and approving those things. Because, you know, I could pick any sin in the Bible and say, like, okay, well, should we make that something that we're diverse about? Like, right? No. That's not what we're trying to do here. That's not what God would have us do. That's what the world does, but that's not what God would have us do. Okay? And I think I've made this clear today. Diversity is so much more than skin color or something like that. So much more than that. That is an important area of diversity. Right? It really is. But it's one of many. Okay? So a person could come in our church and they could look around and say, this isn't a very diverse church. But I say, ha, you don't know half the people in here, okay? You're just looking at it in one way. These people are all very different, okay? Now, we used to say, and I still think this, like, it'd be nice if your church reflected the community around you, you know? So, like, if you lived in a really diverse, racially diverse community, you know, that your church population kind of looked that way, too. You know, that seems like that would be a good thing. But here's something that I'm convinced on as I was thinking about this. If you take any measure of diversity, we are going to be exactly as diverse as God wants us to be. Amen. And I don't think that, like, you look at yourself and say, like, oh, we don't have enough of this type of person, or enough of this type of person. We need to change some things. No. We need to be looking at the Word of God, teaching the Word of God, preaching the Word of God, sharing Christ with people, and let God do His work. And He'll bring what He wants to bring together. How many of you are familiar with Tony Evans? I listen to Tony Evans sermon, and he was sharing the story, and he said, that in his church he had this guy pull him aside. When their church started to grow and kind of really take off, he had a guy pull him aside. And it was another black man, Tony Evans is a black preacher, and this man pulled him and said, "Hey, Dr. Evans, there's getting to be a lot of white people around here." So he said to Tony Evans, Tony Evans said, "Well, maybe you better go witness to some black people." So, anyways, it's more than our skin color, okay? Diversity, there's more to diversity than that, okay? Now, in our diversity, we're going to make each other feel uncomfortable sometimes. I think that's there, we see that. But again, kind of going back to what we said, we're going to base it on unity, and we're going to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this time and place. I want to thank you for everyone who's here. Lord, I pray that you continue to teach us. You continue to shape us in who you want us to be, Lord. And teach us how to love people that are different than us. Teach us how to have patience and to bear with one another when that's needed, Lord. And we ask that in all that we do as one people brought together, that we glorify you as one united people. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.